Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from John Tyler Wiley and his Virginia choir, John Tyler Wiley.
Woo! Woo!
Thanks.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
As I was jamming a pen into my thumb, so I didn't screw it up. How you been?
Oh, I've been great, man. It's been a good busy year, and it's about to pick up even more. And yeah, all exciting stuff.
Soon we're about to meet again.
Yes.
Wait.
No.
Oh, you're not going to be down there.
No.
Rock by the Sea.
I'm not. I was like, do you guys know something that I don't know?
Breaking news. You're going to Rock by the Sea.
Yeah, what up?
See, Chris, I screwed up.
That's right.
We can edit that out.
Don't you dare edit that out.
No. Beth, are you listening? No.
No, that's so funny. And I hope eventually Rock by the Sea or Rock Boat or somebody, you guys, that would be a great thing for the podcast, is you just telling people that they're on.
Oh, that's so great.
Like, wait, what? Really?
You're
like,
on.
Checking their calendars really quickly. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Like,
you don't
a
have
week
to worry. We already
boat.
Put it on your calendar. We applied to Sixth Man.
We could TikTok the live like reactions.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Get the letterhead and be like, no, it's right here. We have the letter. It's clearly states next week you're on the rock boat.
We forged your signature.
That's so funny.
They didn't tell you yet? How dare them?
I do have your autograph right here.
That is true. That wasn't wise of me to make the logo my signature. I'm sure I've my signature has been forged. I probably own real estate in Russia at this point. Like, just,
it's a booming market.
Yeah. Well,
you know what's funny? The last time we saw you, and today, what's in common is two major climate events.
Oh, yeah. That is funny.
We survived the tornado.
We did.
And the eclipse was today. I thought that was pretty cool.
And the eclipse was today. That's right. Could everybody see it okay?
Yeah. I had my nifty little glasses here that my sister got me.
Same.
Don't drive with them on, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, not very smart. They're super dark.
I don't know if it's me, but I'm just not into the eclipse stuff.
Did you go outside and look at it at all?
No. Pictures. If I see the pictures, I'm like, all right, I don't need to see it like live and in right
there.
So
you were just like, Mom, go outside, take a picture for me.
No, not even. I just didn't. I was like, you know what? I could probably go on Twitter and see like 100 images of it.
My wife brought home the glasses from work.
Nice.
If we didn't have those, I wasn't going to go out of my way for it.
Yeah.
No, but well, sure, it's right there. Why not? And you know what? It looked like the same toenail most of the rest of the world saw in Virginia.
People were like, each their own, right? But there were some people that I saw on the news that were just like in love with it. Like, good for them. People traveled all over the world for this thing, and it was...
Well, I wish... So at one point, Piper and Joanne on my rhythm section, they were going to try to be here for this, and then something happened, and they were called elsewhere, but Piper is... Oh, I'm dropping stuff.
Bottle caps.
Yeah. Piper, a guitar pick, actually, fell from my desk. But Piper is really, really into astrophotography. Like, he has a telescope that could probably, like, I was trying to think of something witty, but I got nothing. It's big and probably expensive and really impressive looking.
That's my profile name on a dating website.
He could look, find a new star and get it named for himself.
From his backyard. Yeah. Like follow him on Instagram, Piper Percussion. Look at some of the pictures he's taken. So he was trying to, he was going to go somewhere and set up the rig. And it ended up not happening. I'm wondering if maybe that's why he's not here. I'm just catching that from somewhere, and he's on his way back. But yeah, people get really into it. I'm happy for him.
but you're busy. I mean, you have.
Oh, I mean, everyone's busy,
but you are more busy than
Look, man, I'm not trying to create this rift, man, between me and
busy people.
And the eclipse chasers, man.
Dude, so on March 28th, your new record came out, Pictures in the Dark. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited about it. It's so nice that it's just nice that it's like it's out into the world and off of my plate, and now it's just living and existing, and yeah, I get to see what happens. It's fun.
And it's understand you played with Paul Fowle recently.
We had our record release show in Northern Virginia with the mighty force of nature that is Paul Fowle. It was a blast. I've been spending some time with him lately, but I had not seen him play with a band for a minute, which was super fun. And we also, if you saw the picture, we had a special guest of one Ryan Newell came up to play a couple tunes, which was a blast because, you know, he's got two young kids, and oftentimes it's like when I see his bands, that means he's not there. So I've been filling in for him a little bit on the road from time to time as needed. So I haven't seen him in a couple years, though. We had a couple phone calls. So that's my first time seeing him in a long time. That was our first time playing together since the 2021 boat. And it was a thrill to get to do that.
Oh, wow.
So, that was your stowaway year, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was my last time on. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun seeing, just anytime you get to kick off a tour at home, it's great.
So let's chat about the songs that are on it. Now, I always find it interesting to hear, you know, sometimes artists write songs in present day and they put them on an album. Some artists have a catalog of songs that they've never put out yet, and they pick and for each their own. What was the process like for you? Were these songs that you had for a while, or did you, you know, specifically create these songs just for this album?
Some of the songs had been around for a few years. Yeah. But I'm a big believer that, you know, a record is a snapshot of an artist or a band at a specific point in time. And for that reason, I like there to be a theme. And I think that theme is often dictated by really life, by the happenings of life at a point in time. So there were a couple songs that have been around for a little bit longer, but most of it was a product really of the pandemic, and they were the songs that I was writing when I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do, because I wasn't sure what life was going to look like, as nobody was. So most of these songs really started being written in later 2020 and then started being recorded in later 2021. And here we are. So it's really exciting just to get these, like, just to have people hearing these for a while, because I figured the recordings, I've had the masters really since the end of last year, and the entire time I've just been eagerly awaiting and to have the date finally get here and have the music out in the world is really, really surreal, but it's exciting nonetheless.
So when you are writing these songs, are you taking experiences like Flowers and Oh Death? Are these just like your creative process, I guess, is what I'm asking. Can you walk us through, is it like all experience? Is it all things that you've been through that you're trying to articulate through your music?
You know, it really depends on the song. Oh Death was definitely, that was a meditation on mortality. Because, you know, especially during, you know, the first year and a half of COVID when we didn't know so much about it, it was, you know, I was really afraid that that was going to be it for the world. So that was a meditation really on the difference between like a fear of death and a fear of dying, if that makes sense, you know. Mm-hmm. Flowers, that was much more personal. That's probably the most personal song I've ever written. Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into it, boys. Flowers. My wife and I have been trying to have a baby for years, and we have not been successful. We've just struggled. We went through several rounds of IUI and went through the IVF process. And my wife was pregnant twice and miscarried both times. And after one of the miscarriages, a good friend of mine who's also the pastor of my church, he and his wife sent us some flowers and a meal, which was very sweet. And then as a couple people found out, more people started sending flowers. And I started, like, before I knew it, I just had a kitchen full of flowers. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at these flowers and just meditate, just really thinking about what they represented. Like, you know, in the grieving process. And that's where the song came out. I wrote that in July of 2022. And I wrote that, it was a week before Mile Music, and I played it for the first time that year at Mile Music, like a week later, just because I felt like I needed to. Like, you know, felt like if I didn't play it, then I might not play it ever. But yeah, that's where that song came from. The third verse is very much my wife and I's story. The second verse was inspired by going to the funeral of a friend's dad. And the first verse, I was thinking a little bit about a buddy of mine who passed in high school. He had a car accident, but, I wanted to talk about grief. I wanted to talk about the grieving process. That one was a tough one to write, and record, but for whatever reason, it seems to have been the one that it's one of the ones that has struck the most people. And that's, you know, the cruel prank is now that that's the song we have to play every night.
Because
it's one of our most listened to songs, but I've come to terms with it. I'm fine with it. I'm not happy that we went through what we went through, but I'm happy that that song is at least touching people and hopefully providing some sort of hope or positive feeling, you know. And
definitely, but that's so crazy, right? Stuff. That's like the best thing about music is it's the only thing I can compare it to. It's like you can always look at the numbers on Spotify and Apple and see that people are listening to it, but it's such a relatable song for so many people in so many circumstances every single day of their lives.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those immeasurable outcomes where you know it's an amazing song. People are listening to it. How many people is it going to help? Question mark.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing that's been wild that I'd say probably 9 times out of 10 of the nine out of 10 times that I play that song, somebody will come up to me at the end of the show and they'll either tell a little bit of their story or they'll just say thank you for that specific song.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, especially that, you know, that topic of, you know, miscarriage and fertility issues, that happens to so many people and no one talks about it because who wants to talk about it? It's really,
right. It's not easy to talk about.
Yeah, it's really painful. But a buddy of mine, I was having a conversation actually with Eddie, our former fiddle player. He had a really good quote, that grief is like a backpack that's always on. And some days it's much easier to carry. And some days it just feels like it's full of a ton of bricks. And that quote always really, really hit me. And now, you know, maybe a couple years past that conversation, if I could amend that quote in any way, I would say it's like what makes it easier to carry is having people to help carry it with, you know? And because when you do tell your story, you realize there's more people that have that same story and you just feel less alone, less isolated. And, you know, some things never become easy, but
right.
They might hopefully become easier.
Yeah, and manageable.
And I'm not surprised that that's kind of the song that people are gravitated to wanting to hear all the time, because I mean, music in general is about the feels, right?
Yeah.
So exactly. People gravitate to those songs that make them feel something like much deeper. So the world appreciates, you know, you kind of writing and letting that out so that people could feel that.
Thank you for having the courage to go there.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like I had to, you know, it almost felt like a responsibility. I had to talk about it, but.
People giving you flowers and you are in essence giving flowers out for everyone who's, you know, needs to hear that song.
I like that. Thanks, man.
So I just to change to shift gears here, I just want to point out a couple things in the background here for those that are listening. If you look on our YouTube video channel thing, are those CD towers? Like,
we have viewers. I'm really glad that the I've listened to the podcast and never watched it. I'm very, very happy I cleaned my studio.
We don't tell people that we're video. I'm just kidding.
Yes, those are CD towers. Because I mean, yeah, I got a stereo, man, and I have boxes and boxes of CDs. So I'm like, yeah, why not?
And is that a foosball table?
We got a foosball table.
Foosball table, CD stacks, and a leather sofa.
There's a Hammond. There's a Hammond organ right there.
That is a definition of a man cave right there.
Like a frat house. It's awesome.
You know, you come here, you make the record. There's a behind, you can't see it behind those CD towers. You see that cracked open door. Yeah. I have a booth in there where I keep an amp. So I have cabling going on the floor so I can sit here and record guitar tracks. And I have some, our next record, we'll probably not do it that way, but we've been making our records in our home studios. Just because it's so comfortable and, you know, you get to stumble downstairs in your pajamas and get to work. There's something about the recording process, just giving it that sense of ease. And I think that translates, hopefully, you know, in that it, you know, it doesn't, we're not clocking in at an office anywhere. We're just, you know,
and we're trying to get our YouTube game stepped up. So maybe this is the episode that's just going to take us to new levels. Check it out. John Tyler Wiley's crib. Studio.
A bunch of guitar pedals, some exercise equipment that you can just look at me and guess how often that gets used.
Same.
Twice a day.
And different keyboards and guitar boats and just everything a growing boy needs.
Now, when you got the master, correct me if my lingo is wrong. When you got the masters for the new album, did you all have like a listening party? Is that something you guys do? You all get together and
not really. No, like I listened first and I made a couple adjustments and then I sent everything to the band and, once I thought we were, you know, once I thought we were close or there, because I don't, sometimes that process can just be so tedious of just like, who has this input? Who has this input? Cause you know, so it just, I got it to a point where I was really happy with it. I worked when, you know, this was mixed by Doug Ross, who has been on several boats working with Carbon Leaf, and mastered by a gentleman named Hans DeKline from Los Angeles, who has won Grammys for working with Pixies and U2. And he's a monster, and he's incredibly kind and incredibly knowledgeable. But you can imagine once they got done with their thing, you know, once both of them had put their stamp on it, I didn't have much to say, you know? So I sent that out to the band and, you know, I wanted everybody to kind of come at it from an unbiased, you know, unbiased place. I didn't want anybody to be affected by, like, you know, if we're all in a room, like looking at people, like, what do you think of the level of that synthesizer? I wanted everybody to be isolated and be comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they were. And then away we go. So, did I say this yet? I'm pumped about it.
You should be.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the artwork on the album cover?
Yeah. The artwork was done by our friend Angela. The idea from it, you know, I love the idea of the artwork has to represent the record. Like, for The Longing, that to me was a very adventurous record. And what's the front cover? It's a classic car out in the middle of the desert without a road. It's like something that isn't where it should be, you know? So Pictures in the Dark, that phrase comes from our song Full Handed. And in the song Full Handed, that's a pretty fictional song about a kid going through his parents' divorce. So the idea in that song, the kid uses art and drawing as just a coping mechanism, as therapy to get through that time. And we realized that all of the songs on this record were kind of our therapy of getting through the pandemic, like Ending of the End. That's about, you know, that's a cheeky view of an impending apocalypse. We already talked about Oh Death, you know, like there's all of it had to do with, you know, getting through some sort of trial.
Yeah.
And that's the artwork we went with. It's supposed to be a journal with the idea that that's the journal that this kid was drawing in. So I thought that Angela did a great job with it. I had a wonderful frog in my throat just then. I thought that Angela did a great job with it, and just the whole package. I'm pretty pumped for it. So that was a long answer.
No, it is so fitting, and hearing just how personal the songs were for you, it makes so much sense. And
oh, good. Awesome. You
know, I love the stories behind songs, period.
So great.
Like, that's some of my favorite things to listen to.
I love that stuff, man. I've been hosting a writer's round because I'm just inviting different songwriters that I love because I want to hear those stories. Like, I love songs, you know, and I love hearing about people's process and about people's, you know, the different inspirations. Like, it's just, I love that stuff. So hats off to y'all for bringing people on here to talk about it.
Well, we bring you on, and we're going to be buying that vinyl again.
Oh, sweet.
Right afterwards. Thanks. Can't wait to listen to it.
Thanks,
there's just something about sitting down with the vinyl and listening song by song.
Absolutely. Like, just the fact that you have to, like, you can't get too comfortable. You have to physically stand up every 15 minutes or whatever and flip the thing over. Like, it forces you to make it an event. And
yep.
I love that.
And we send thank you out to the artists for coming on, because we feel like fans just getting to kind of ask the questions that interest us, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm thrilled to get to do this again. So
I'm excited for when the new vinyl arrives. Now, I haven't seen the back side of it yet, but I'm hoping that
it's gonna
look like this. Because I love nothing more than waking up in the morning and it's just right there. There he is.
I it's the same thing, but I unbutton one more button.
Oh. Ooh. Okay, hello.
Just wait for the next one.
Yeah. Each year, a button comes undone.
Each year, I'm making more and more people unhappy.
There's room in my cabin this year on the boat.
Wow.
John, where can folks go who are listening to this, who maybe have never heard of your music or heard of you? Where can they access all things John?
JohnTowerWiley.com. That'll have links to Spotify and Apple Music and, you know, wherever people go to listen to music. But the website, that's a good place to start because we're going on tour. And that's got that all that information on there.
Is there one venue, like, obviously, you know, artists going to venues is amazing, you know, from where we were to where we're at now with the pandemic. But, like, I feel like secretly, like, artists have, like, I can't wait to play this song at this venue.
Oh, yeah.
So you have, and you don't have to call it out. I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot, but, like, so you do have, like, your favorites.
Yeah. You know, we just did Jamma Java. Yeah. I have so much love for everybody there, and it just always feels like kind of coming home on Thanksgiving. Like, it's just, it's just such a great vibe all the time. And I had so many formative memories there through Melodyne and then with Steven and other artists. It's been, it's just, it's always great there. So getting to do that's always great. We got to, last year, we got to check off a big bucket list. We got to play 930 Club for the first time, which was a treat. So yeah. That was a thrill to get to do that. Trying to think of some of the ones that are upcoming. 20 Front Street, Michigan is always great. Any chance I get to play my songs, I'm gonna be thrilled. But there's of course memories from, you know, gigs past that always stand out a little bit, you know, that makes some of those venues that much more special. What you got, man?
I got a question, and I only feel comfortable asking you because I saw the picture on the back of the vinyl, and I'm just kidding. Without naming the place, what's like the worst green room experience you've ever had? Like, you walked in, you're like, nope, we're just gonna go sit out there. Like,
I really want to name the place.
You can. I mean, I'm not gonna stop you.
Because it's quite frankly, I know I'm not going to. I hope I never go there again. I'll rephrase that.
You got to keep the door open, right?
It's more along the lines of if I'm there, something has gone terribly wrong. there's one place. There's a place in Ocean City, Maryland, and that's as specific that I'll get.
Okay.
It wasn't even a green room. It was like an artist's apartment where they'd put you up to stay.
Okay.
After you played. And so every artist that played this place stayed there. I've been to places that do this and it can be really nice.
Yeah.
It's like a hostel.
Yeah, like a musician's hostel. And some of those are really nice. This one, it just, you got the vibe of like, hey, maybe don't blacklight it.
Shit is gonna itch on you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We had a TV in the vehicle that we were traveling in, and we had to bring that inside because the TV didn't work. And it was like, we were playing one set one night and then another set another night. Mm. And then we were just there during the day with like a TV with three channels and, you know, yeah, you want a distraction because you don't want to look at the ground or on the couch or any place there could be stains. That's while not a green room per se, enough that I still clearly have PTSD from that experience.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I've never asked that question before. It just came to me.
Well, we're sorry you had to go through that, I guess.
It's all right. I'm like,
just note to self, you never want to go in Eamon's bedroom.
Hey,
Wow. Coming after you.
He's my cousin.
Yeah. Family.
I get shit. I get shit all the time, man.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Like, no, I've lucked out. Like, you know, I've been shown some really, really nice, like, hospitality. I'm sure after we're done talking, I'm going to think of like three situations where I like narrowly avoided a stabbing in a green room or something. But for right now,
that's the one.
We'll stay there.
All right. John, I want to thank you so much for finding time to talk to us about your new record, Pictures in the Dark, which is now available on all streaming platforms. I would encourage everybody to go download it, buy it, get it, listen to it, like it, follow them. Like, your music's awesome. You put out amazing stuff.
Well, thanks, dudes.
And it's only a matter of time before you get back on the boat. I can only imagine. So.
Oh man, I would love to do that. I would.
Hopefully you fed Ryan the bug when you saw.
You know, I never want to make it weird, but I will always. I mean, the boat community has already been so good to me, and I've met so many wonderful people through that. That I'm just happy to have gotten what I've gotten. You know, that being said, any chance I get to hang out with y'all and go and have that amazing experience, I will move mountains to make that happen. So it's, I'm always talking about how special, the boat is, and what the rock boat music community and some of its offshoots do. It's just, it's so cool to see. And it's so cool to see what the boat and everybody at Six Man and Sister Hazel have built over the years. It's just really, really inspiring.
John, thank you so much. We, again, we appreciate your time, and
yeah, dudes,
it was great catching up.
Yeah, yeah, it's been too long. You on the road.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute. Did we talk about the last? Were we recording when we said the last thing that was mentioned? Or I'm sorry, we'll cut that sentence and make me sound smart. were we recording when we talked about the last time I saw y'all and what my band name was called?
No, we were not.
We did not.
You can remind the listeners, because Eamon and I enjoy this part.
why would I do that? I feel like the person that said it should say it.
Yeah.
Can you just introduce him as that, Chris?
No. I mean, for those that are listening, while at Textified, which was hosted by Todd and Leah Connor.
I love y'all if they're listening. I mean,
they are.
Even if
in
they're
Texas,
we forced them to. All
right, good. And
so we were doing Breakfast with the Boatcast in Texas, and I have anxiety typically when I introduce someone's names. And in my defense, there's a lot of I's in that word.
There's we have a lot of syllables.
There's a lot of things going on.
And I hold nothing against you for this. Because you know, I thought, like I said, I thought you were screwing with me up until about 45 minutes ago when this was mentioned.
For those that are listening, when I introduced John Tyler Wiley and the Virginia Choir, I introduced it as John Tyler Wiley and the Virgin Choir. And at the time, I knew I screwed up, but I wasn't going to say it immediately. I was going to wait for somebody else.
It's got a ring to it.
Oh, well. No, it does not have a ring to it. You played it off so well. I thought I was getting busted on.
You were just like, hey.
Oh, really? It is 8 in the morning.
It was early. And so that's, you know, it happened. And then I played it off.
You played it off so well. I'm so like, your comedic delivery was perfect, even though unintentional. And hats off to you. We still mostly what we get called is some sort of, you know, John Tyler Wiley and HVAC, like some sort of heating and air conditioning joke. But that was the first time we've gotten that. So props.
He's never going to let you live it down, Chris.
That's all right. I'm cool with it. I'm going to create my own band and call it that.
Perfect.
We can go on tour together.
Let's just introducing both bands and confuse the heck out of people.
The one band has the guy with the hair. The other one's got the bald guy. Yeah.
They're two choirs, but they're actually not choirs. They're just bands.
Like, V squared.
Awesome.
You better not edit this out. This is a great wrap up.
Chris does not have his hands on the editing. So.
No, that's the one thing
he's
do.
He's just the face of the podcast. Well, listen, John, thank you for your time. And we truly look forward to seeing you on another boat, brother.
I look forward to that as well. Thank you guys for catching up. It's always a lot of fun talking to you all.
All right.
You too, brother.
Take care, man.
See you guys. Bye.